Sex is one of humanity's greatest sources of pleasure. So why is it still shrouded in guilt, shame, and misunderstanding? Welcome to Are You Available? I'm your host, Lana Jade, sex worker turned counselor and sexual educator, and I'm here to unpack some of those issues that have come to light from my time in the adult industry. Hey there, and welcome to Are You Available? Thank you so much for joining me once more. We are on episode number 7. Before I jump in and tell you a little bit about what this episode is about, I thought I'd touch base and let you know what's been going on. So as a lot of people are going through the same thing as I am, we are in week 7 of lockdown at the moment. So things have been a little bit uninspiring, to say the least. It's been a little bit mundane. But it's given me a bit of time to reflect on the way I wanted to structure the podcast and what episodes I was going to be doing. So these episodes I've been doing as during lockdown. I'd never planned to do them. Now, actually, I had never planned to do this topic at all, which is a little bit surprising because it's actually one that's going to resonate with the most people. It's really interesting to kind of everybody for a number of reasons, because it's not something that we want to think about if we're married or if we're in a partnership, but it's something that definitely does come up quite often, whether it be an insecurity or it's reality or whatever it may be. So this week's topic is called Not My Partner, right? So we're talking about married couples, specifically married couples, but it also relates to people in relationships as well. So I think one of the main sources of, stigma, but one of the main sources of negative emotions, well, one of the driving forces of stigma is the fear or the insecurity within one's own relationship. It's much easier to place blame on a sex worker or an escort as being a problem than addressing the fact that your partner is seeing sex workers or has an inclination to see sex workers, or perhaps you've just got a deep-seated fear that they already are. And when it's much easier to place the blame on sex workers being available and being so lazy enough to offer a service that their partners or, you know, might indulge in. So for me, I genuinely think a lot of the stigma around sex workers from women specifically is around that. It's not like the whole thing, but I definitely think it's one of the main aspects of it. It's always easier to find blame in somebody else and there's somebody else's availability than addressing your own issues or any of those things. Anyway, so married men or married people seeing sex workers, how common is it? It is very, very common. Married men, married men specifically. It's not just married men, but it is like the percentage of it is far outweighs married. Well, I mean, that's not true because I only see married men usually. It's not like married women are coming to me. So like obviously my data, my statistics are going to be vastly different to a male escort's statistics because he sees married women, whereas I don't. So yes, both married men and women see escorts, and they are the bread and butter of our business. They are what the industry fundamentally runs on. And it's quite, eye-opening, or it's nauseating for some people to consider how high the percentage of our clients are that are in their relationships or that are married. I think for me at the moment, I would say about 50-50% are either married or single. The majority of my regular clients are single, though not all of them. One of my favorite best clients is married. But I think like the thing is with married clients, I feel like they're less inclined to be regular or see regular women
like on a really long ongoing basis because they've already got a wife at home, right? Like one of the main reasons for hiring an escort is variety. So to see a second person and just one other person ongoingly, like it's kind of defeats the purpose of seeing an escort at all because like they've got that at home. But that brings me to a point about regular clients, specifically married clients. It's always really funny or it like makes me laugh when sex workers get possessive about their regular clients. Because I mean, nobody wants to lose a good client because if they're paying like a high amount of money, they're seeing you regularly, you've got a good relationship, it's money you can essentially rely on to a degree. You don't want to lose that. But there's girls that get very, very possessive and think they own this client or think they have like they're entitled to their time or that client owes them something, owes them the bookings. So they'll speak to other girls and be like, don't you steal my client. Don't you steal my client. I know you won't steal my client. And they'll get like really anxious about this client potentially liking somebody else more than them. Meanwhile, these guys are married, right? Like, babe, if he's not loyal to his wife, why the fuck do you think he's going to be loyal to you? Like, it just blows my mind that people can't, like, put it in a different perspective. Just because somebody likes you, seeing you often, paying you, you've got a relationship, by no means are they going to continue to see you for a long period of time or going to favor you over somebody else. And they owe you nothing. They're doing this one reason is for variety and enjoyment and not for the neediness and not for the clinginess, which these people are displaying. But anyway, it's funny. And the sex workers get so possessive over someone that is literally married to somebody else and think that they'll be loyal. So what are the circumstances where a married man will see an escort? There's so many reasons. And this is one reason I actually love my job is because the variety of reasons somebody will see sex work is so great. And it just shows the complexities of relationships and people and sexuality and how fascinating it really is and how diverse our sexual natures are and how far it strays from society's view of what a normal relationship or normal sex should look like. Like, what is normal? Who created normal? Like, who created monogamy? You know, like, I know there's answers for that I don't fucking know. I'm assuming it's Christianity. I don't know. I just realized as I said that, I'm like, actually, who did do that? I'm assuming it's Christianity. I'm just going to say Christianity for now. Probably wrong. Don't know. Forgive me. My point, nonetheless, even though the facts are going to be very wrong, my point is monogamy is not actually a natural dynamic for us as human beings. Like our biology and our physiology are all wired to not be monogamous, to have multiple partners, men specifically. I know we joke about men needing to cast their seed far and wide and talk like negatively about men's desires and like how they can't keep it in their pants and you know, all of those things that we think are typical male aspects or like traits, for instance. But it's not untrue. That's the thing. Biology and physiology, they're men are wired to have sex with multiple people. They like are wired to impregnate multiple people. Like the sperm count is higher with a new partner as opposed to what it is with somebody that they've been sleeping with consistently. There's actually loads of different physiology. I can't even say any words today. Physiological responses that are impacted by a new or a potentially new sexual partner. So monogamy is not natural for humans. And you can argue with me about that all you want. Like, I don't care. That's my opinion. And I think it's right. Go argue with me. I don't know. My point is, though, it's not impossible for us to be monogamous, but it is unnatural and it is harder for us to be monogamous. And every person is individual and every person has different unique factors around that, and there's no one common theme for every single person, except the fact that desire is fluid, sexuality is fluid, and it ebbs and it flows. So with that in mind, that's my view on monogamy. I'm not saying that monogamous relationships are wrong or impossible. Like I said, I think they're challenging for humans. I'm in a monogamous relationship, but my view on sexuality is open and fluid. So I know that things can change, desires change. We do desire other people. We get bored. There's so many different factors with us personally that contribute to our own sexual desires, and no two people are always going to be aligned with their sexual preferences. So in my personal relationship, my partner came to me and said, look, you know, like I need sex with somebody else, you know, like I, for whatever reason, I feel like this is what I need to do right now. Like, sure, I'd probably be taken aback by it, but I'd be like, okay, yeah, thank you for letting me know. Like, let's work this out. How did you see that happening? What is it that you need that I can't offer? And how do you think that you're going to be able to get that? And then we'd work it out from there. Like, I like having sex with multiple people. The option is always open for him to include multiple people in our, you know, in our play. But he doesn't feel the same way that I do. And so we are misaligned in that sense, but the communication is open and it will remain open because that's what it's about. It's being able to communicate with your partner about what your sexual preferences are and needs are, and if they're not being met, why aren't they not being met, and how do you envision them being met in the future? And this is the problem with people in relationships, is because firstly, not many people are open to that because they take it as a direct threat to their love or to their relationship, and quite rightly it can be, especially the way most people view sex and relationships. They're intertwined, and that people can't usually view relationships without sex and sex without relationships, or, you know, they can't. It's very funny because people, you know, it's like black and white. They, you know, or the huge part of relationships is sex, and they can't envision their partner sleeping with anybody else but them. But when they're in the beginning relationship stage, if they're not hitting it off sexually, they don't take that into an account as something that's going to be a factor later on. You figure it doesn't matter. It'll fix itself. Whereas it's not going to fix itself unless the communication is there and it's open and it's from the beginning. And also it does matter. Like, it always matters. If it's a problem at the beginning, it's going to be a problem later in the relationship. It's just going to be magnified. And by that point in time, your relationship has developed, your love has developed, everything has developed past the point of being able to communicate in that sense without greatly hurting your partner. And that's kind of where the implication comes in, and where sex workers often come into the equation. Not always, but some of the time. It's like a lot of clients who are married, they love their partner. They truly do. And they do feel guilty about seeing a sex worker. But to them, this is their last resort and the best possible solution. So there's people that have tried to have their needs met in a relationship, and they cannot get them met for whatever reason. Maybe it's miscommunication, just misalignment of desires, shame around their desires. And so they struggle with this need and this desire that, like, really does control so much of our behavior, and like sits on our mind, and it can make us anxious, and like there's a heap of things, and it builds and it gets pent up, and they really want to indulge in whatever that need, whether it be a desire or it's an intimacy need, and we do need intimacy. And so if they haven't been able to get it met in a relationship, they don't want to hurt their partner. They don't want to involve somebody else by having, you know, like having an affair. They don't want any strings. They just want this specific need met. And a sex worker can easily, quickly, and no strings attached do that. And yeah, they feel guilty. It's not what they wanted to do. A lot of the time I've asked the clients, I'm like, I'll ask them, have they done it with their partner or what they want? Like, yeah, I would love to do this with my partner, but she won't do it. Or, she'd never do it. Or I can't explain it to her. I can't tell her about it. And then there's all of this shame and there's all of these different layers. And essentially, they don't want to be doing it with me. They would have wanted to do it with their partner, but for there's different factors involved, they haven't been able to get there with that. So that's one type of client, one type of married client. There's another type of married client where they've been together for a really long time and the intimacy has just fizzled out. Like they could have been married 20, 30 years and they just, they're friends now, they love each other, or they're just incapable of intimacy together for whatever reason. And again, it's a last resort. They would have rather be fucking their wives, but it's not working, so here they are with me instead. And these kind of clients typically, there's clients that want to have some sort of relationship or friendship or outside of the hours that they are meeting with you. And then there's the guys that just want to like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. They want the connection still, in a sense, the intimacy without the contact afterwards. It's just like, thank you, you've fulfilled my need. Until next time, or I'll never see them again. They'll just find somebody else because it's about variety. It's the other thing, variety. A lot of people need variety, like variety. I think fundamentally humans need variety in all areas of life. Sex is just one of them that we're shamed about needing variety in. And one of the reasons is because of the religious, we were never like this. Years and years ago, humans weren't this uptight. They weren't monogamous. They weren't ancient times. We've become so prudish and so hell-bent on enforcing this normal vision of what two people should be doing in their sex lives, and it shouldn't divert from this thing. And who fucking created that? And how boring. The difference is in what makes a sexual experience hot and exciting. It's just so diverse, and it's insane how the most random things can be turned into something sexual and just get you off. Like, I don't know how many people, I know how many times I've done it. You're sitting in front of the computer or you're watching porn, or you've been watching porn for days or whatever. All of a sudden you just go into a video porn wormhole and you're like flicking through video, flicking from the next thing to the next thing, and the next minute you're watching hentai and fucking masturbating to some octopus lady, some woman being fucked by an octopus type thing, and or an alien or whatever it is, and you're like getting off on it. I'm like, what? Why is that sexual? Why is these weird fucking cartoons getting me off right now? And then you sit there after and you're like, wow. How weird, but also interesting. It's fascinating that sex can be so pleasurable in so many different ways. And it's weird. Weird's the wrong word. When I'm referring to myself, I think, wow, that was weird. But I don't mean weird in that sense. I mean just not typical, normal. Nothing is weird. That's what people say, what is the craziest thing or what's the weirdest thing you've seen? Nothing is weird. It's just different to what you'd expect. Some people, golden showers, for instance, to me, that is so far removed from anything that can be sexual to me personally. But yet it's such a huge part of the industry. Could have made so much money if I could fucking pee on a man, but I just can't do it. For whatever reason, I get stage fright and I cannot pee on a man, and I will not let a man pee on me. That's just my boundary. And to me, it's not sexual. But there's so many people that get off on that. How interesting. But that's part of the reason men or women people see sex workers is because they've got these fantasies, they've got these desires that are not essentially normal. They feel uncomfortable talking to their partner about it because they don't want to be seen as weird. They don't want to be seen as creep. They don't want to be seen as like some sex freak. They just don't want their partners to lose respect for their sexual desires. So instead of voicing them, they hide them. And then they see a sex worker to live their fantasy and make it happen. Like, there's one client that I saw quite a while ago now. And one of the first things he said to me was, "I'm bisexual." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Like, that's cool. Have you, you know, have you experienced with a guy before? Like, have you had any experiences with men?" "No, no, no." And then, so this guy was happily married. He loved his wife. They had a great sex life. And the more we got talking, and I was like, "Have you ever told her that?" And he's like, "No, I couldn't. I could never tell her I'm bisexual." So to me, that whole experience was, he wasn't living out his bisexual fantasy with me, it like physically, but he was able to talk about it. He was able to talk about his sexual preferences, including men, in a way that was free to him. He wasn't being judged. There was no respect being lost. There was no fear around his desires and his preferences, and he could just be himself. And that's what so many couples lack, is the ability to express themselves without that fear of judgment and fear of their relationship changing because of something like their sexual preferences. Like, how will my partner view me after this? What will they think of me? Will they still want to have sex with me? Will they, you know, what are they thinking? Will it just send them into a spiral of like, who the fuck are you? You know, all of those kind of things weigh on somebody's mind if they don't have the openness with their partner to discuss their sexual preferences right from the beginning. So someone on Instagram asked if it's easier to tell if someone is married. And the answer is yes and no. See, it really depends on when they book. you know, there's times of day where it's kind of, it makes it pretty obvious that they're either married or in a relationship, whether if they're booking lunchtime, so there's not a time that they have to explain their absence from home, or if it's like straight after work, or if it's like, you know, work drinks type of time and they have to hurry off, they need to be quick. So they're clues that would allude to somebody being married. But also, a lot of people say, not everybody, but quite often they'll tell you about it. And that's what's a really interesting thing. They just talk about their partner and like it's just a normal thing. And it throws me off guard sometimes, depending on the way that they're talking about it. But that brings me to one point, that so many people actually have arrangements with their partners, that they see sex workers or see other people. And this dynamic is surprisingly common, and which is what is so fascinating to me, is how obsessed people are with other people's relationships and what they view as normal. Like, I've had friends who just like obsess over what's going on in my relationship and what it should be and what it shouldn't be and why do I do this and why do I do that? Why do I accept this and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll do the same thing about every other person's relationship around them. Like, they're obsessed with knowing the ins and outs of everybody else's relationship and sex lives. When a relationship is between two people, that's not all sometimes, but it's between essentially the people involved. It's nobody else's business. And this is the other thing why so many of these dynamics are kept secret, is because people like to judge other people from diverting from normal, again, from normal. But most of these people have inclinations and desires that are not the norm, not society's view of normal. Like, it's quite a common thing, but yet it's easier to judge somebody else from deviating from society's views of normal than addressing our own flaws and our own problems within our relationship. It's just much more comfortable for people to pinpoint other people's problems and fixate on that, or perceived problems. And so that's the interesting thing. A lot of people are open enough in their relationship to understand that sexuality is fluid, it does change. And that their partner or they need variety or they need something extra that their partner's not able to provide. So in some cases, there's partners that have, own arrangements like once a month or whatever it might be, whatever their specific thing is, and they each go out and they have their own adventures, their own sexual adventures, and some of them will talk about it with their partners and others won't. Like, they're all different arrangements that work for that specific couple. And it's interesting how many men I've spoken to who see sex workers, and because the view is that men are cheating bastards, that that's like, you know, it's typical that a man will be seeing a sex worker. When in a lot of cases, I'm not going to say a percentage, but it's a higher number than I expected, where it was the woman in the relationship that had originally cheated. So she was the first person to cheat in the relationship. And then either he was seeing a sex worker out of, not spite, but respite, I'm going to say, like as a healing type thing and to help him overcome it. I'm not liking using this as a, by the way, I don't condone cheating. I think I would love people to be able to express their problems within a relationship without needing sex workers. That would be like the ideal world, right? But that's not where we're at. So a lot of clients who had their partners cheat on them will see sex workers, or from her cheating, they've come to this agreement that, yeah, they both need variety. They want to stay together. They love each other. Fundamentally, their relationship works. It's just this area, sex, that hasn't been. It's been just not gelling for them, or maybe they do have a great sex life and it's just they need something extra. Or their sex life has become enhanced after they've each done their individual thing. So the dynamics are really different, and it's really interesting how many different dynamics there are and how many people are open to relationships like that. And it's also so fascinating to see so many people fixate on what they don't deem as normal. But really, I think so much of it comes from a place of them wanting that kind of relationship. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that won't agree with me. But I mean, how nice would it be that you could be so secure and so comfortable within your own relationship, with your own sex life, that it's no bother to you if your partner's fucking someone else? Like every once in a while, you're fucking somebody together. Like people are like, oh my gosh, I'd never want that. Okay, cool. You do you, right? Like, I think it's a really cool place, really comfortable place. But I do recognize how far people are from resonating with that train of thought, because I've said it to people who are other sex workers and other people like in everyday life, and they're just like gasp, like, oh, no, I could never, like, I could never see it. No, my partner would never fuck somebody else. I'd never want that. But anyway. But so even if you don't want that, but imagine how cool it would be to be unbothered by the thought of your partner fucking somebody else, you know, like that's a really comfortable, secure place to be as a person. So yeah, so there's those dynamics, and there's also dynamics that I find really fun and really cool. And that's where their partner literally is like involved in it in a certain sense. So there's clients that will film the encounter, like our date, like I offer filming. So it's not like they're doing it secretly. It's not creepy and it's not weird. It's not illegal. It's consensual. They film the booking and for their partner to watch. And so their partner like gets off on their partner fucking me. And I'm like, how cool is that? Like, that's hot. That's like, that's exciting. That's a cool dynamic. A lot of people, again, would be freaking out, like, oh my gosh, that is disgusting. I would never. But that's my point. Sexuality is so diverse. And just because you are uncomfortable with something doesn't mean there's not so many other people that are. And the more comfortable we are with our own sexuality and the more that we consider other people's ideas of what's hot and what's exciting and what's fun, like all around, the more like what difference is it to you if somebody else gets off on that? Like, we are so judgmental on what other people's sexual preferences are without like turning it back to ourselves and be like, why does this bother me? Like, why do I care if somebody gets off doing that? Like, what inside me is the problem here? Like, why am I threatened by this? Why do I find this so offensive? Because essentially that's what it's about. When we have like a heightened emotion, whether it be disgust or whatever, about something that we react to so greatly, it's like something internally we need to address and work out why it bothers us. And a lot of the time when it comes to men cheating or men seeing sex workers, it's because something inside of us is triggered. It's like whether it be a fear that our relationship is in that place that our partner might be seeing sex workers, like, you know, and if you've got that feeling, it's probably time to have a talk with them and like work it out. And if that feeling's not true, get to the bottom of why you're feeling like that. What part of the relationship is making you concerned that potentially your partner feels the need to see sex workers? Is you haven't been having sex? Is it because, you know, you're so far you're disconnected in what your preferences are? What maybe you like to have sex all the time and he doesn't. What is it that's causing like a fear that your partner is utilizing sex workers if you feel that way? So most of the time, clients are really respectful of their partners, which goes to show that they truly do love them and it is a last resort that they're seeing me for. But occasionally it just drives me wild. In a bad way, it drives me like angry wild about how some people speak about their partners, and you can tell that they're doing it purely out of spite and they want to hurt their partner for whatever reason. And the way that they talk about them is just so derogatory and unnecessary. It just goes to show that there's some pretty disgusting humans out there. Like, there was a client that I'd saw regularly, and it makes me cringe to remember how he would brag to me about the lies that he told to see me, about how his wife would be questioning him and she knew, like she obviously knew, she was accusing him of seeing somebody and he was just flat out lying to her face, and he would just get this smirk across his like slimy little face about how he would lie and the lengths that he would go to lie to her, and how she'd be trying to have sex with him now and he's just would turn her down, and the satisfaction that he was getting from being like that, just it actually has caused so many problems within my own trust. Like, my personal trust issues are affected by the men that I see, because I'm seeing so many people who are disloyal and dishonest, and obviously that has a flow-on effect. If you don't catch it, if you're not, you know, if you're not aware of it, even if you are aware of it, it still has an impact on me and on other sex workers. So I remember this one time where she'd obviously been accusing him of lying and cheating and all of the things that he was doing. And he was like, I can't believe she's lying. I can't believe she was carrying on, and I can't believe this. And I'm like, dude, you're here fucking me. Like, she's not being hysterical. You are literally doing the things that she's claiming you are, and you're gaslighting her and making her feel like a fucking crazy bitch for something that you are actually doing. Like, it's the most unsettling feeling, knowing that you're being lied to, and when your partner won't tell you what they're fucking lying about, and you know, and your partner just gaslights you until you're just like this insane mess. And he was just gloating about it. And then he would go on to tell me that he needed to go run around the oval now with his like clothes on and all, like all of the things, you know. And the other thing is, I don't like using soap because I don't like smelling differently. So ladies, note, different scents on your man. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so he was like, I've got to whinging about it. I have to go run around the oval now. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm going to go and run around the oval. I'm like, why would you do that? And he's like, well, I told her I was golfing, didn't I? So now I've got to pretend that I was golfing. So I've got to actually go and have a run. So I'll get my shirt all sweaty. And then I'll sit in the car with the windows up, so I'm actually sweating by the time I get home, so it looks like I've gone to golf all day. And I was just, you know, I could only internally shake my head. And I just couldn't help but wonder why some people don't just fucking get divorced. Like, if you are in that place where you hate your partner so much that you're willing to go to these extreme lengths to firstly make them feel like shit, secondly to prove to them that you're not lying when you definitely are cheating on them. Like, just get divorced. Like, how are you happy? How is your partner happy? That's an awful place for people to be in and living in. Can you imagine? So there's people like that, and yeah, that's a head fuck. It's awful. And I feel for anybody that happens to be in a relationship with somebody that acts that way, because it doesn't matter what the circumstances are behind that. Like, everybody needs to be treated better than that. And God, I hope that you have the power to leave that relationship if that is something that you can relate to. So there's things like that. But a lot of the time they will tell you about their partners. They'll talk about them just like in conversation, as though you're just a friend, but a friend they can be open and honest with. And a lot of the time you are the only person that they can be open and honest about. And so, like I've said before, they have a lot of shame around their desires, but also they've got shame around what they're doing. I have a client I see regularly who deeply loves his wife. Like, they love each other very much. And I think there's part of it is the taboo behind it. Also, like, seeing me or seeing other sex workers is so far removed from reality that it's like this huge experience that is a completely takes him away from his responsibilities. And it's the break that he needs to switch off and do the things. And I do believe that his wife knows, and I think a lot of wives know, or a lot of partners know what their partners are doing, and they either love them and can deal with it, and they might be doing their own thing too, you know. Like, there's, like I said, there's so many different dynamics, and when two people love each other, sometimes there's allowances you can be made for behavior, and it's not anybody else's business to decide what those allowances are. If you know somebody that you think their partner's cheating on them, and they're choosing to stay in their relationship, that's their choice. And you have no place to insert your opinion or view on what is normal and what is acceptable by somebody else's standards, because you're not them and you do not know the circumstances around it. And if you're a judgmental prick like that, they're probably not going to be comfortable telling you about it. So keep your opinions to yourself. It's never your place to tell somebody to leave a relationship or to put your two cents worth in somebody else's private life. Anyway, so this client I was talking about, that he loves his wife very much. I believe she knows. But he'd wake up in the morning and he'd be so guilty. Like, he'd be riddled with guilt. And if it's a multi-day booking, he'd often send me home. He couldn't even look at me pretty much. And so he'd cancel the rest of the booking and I'd just go home because he was just riddled with guilt. And it'll go through phases where him and people in the same situation as him, where obviously one of their needs is variety and sexual variety. And they're like, this is the last time. This is the last time. I'm not seeing sex workers. I'm not seeing escorts anymore. Like, New Year's Day is the day that I'm not going to see anymore, you know. And then they've like built this wall of shame around themselves and their behavior. And then they feel like can't do it anymore. And it's just like guilt part of them, guilt and shame. And it's just, but that's part of them. And, you know, and ultimately they always come back. Always come back. I was joking with a friend about it the other day who has been out of the industry a while. And she's like, maybe I should just put my ad up and my old regulars will see me and we're laughing. We're like, yeah, once a married man. Scrolling through Scarlet Blue, always a married man scrolling through Scarlet Blue, you know, like, if they've become a person that's seeing sex workers for a long period of time, it's just something that, you know, they end up finding so much value in that it's a thing that continues to happen ongoingly. And unless the original problem has been solved. But if someone's been married 25 years and they've been seeing escorts 20, probably it's not going to be solved. They're going to continue to see escorts the entire time because that's the way that's a pattern they've created. So there's so many different reasons men will see sex workers who are married. Basically, Actually, no, there's one I wanted to say before I wrap up this episode. So this is one that I really felt really uncomfortable with. It was a younger guy who I'd been seeing ongoingly for quite some time, and his reason for seeing me, he'd always said, was his wife didn't want to have sex anymore. He'd try, and she just didn't want to have sex. And I'd be like, oh, you poor thing, that must be awful, blah, 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 siding with him essentially. I don't really pay much attention to what men say along those lines anymore, because it's always much more to the story, I've learned. And whenever somebody tells you a story about the relationship, it's always going to favor them in the best light. That's another thing to think about whenever you're speaking with friends about their relationship. It's their side of the story. They're not going to implicate themselves in a way, or they're going to communicate themselves in a way to be the problem or a part of the problem. But people need to vent. And so just don't be an opinionated asshole around it. Anyway, so he was telling me that he was trying to have sex with his wife. They'd been married for however long. She didn't want to have sex anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Poor me. And anyway, he was showing me photos on his phone one day, and he flicked too far, and it was a photo of his wife. His wife was like 9 months fucking pregnant. And I felt sick. I was just like, you cunt. Like, I cannot believe that you've been seeing me for 3 months telling me like your sob story about how your wife is like not wanting to have sex with you anymore. Meanwhile, she's carrying your fucking kid. Like, I don't judge often, but I judged then, and I still do judge that scenario now, because a relationship, definitely sex is important in a relationship, but if you're prioritizing your need for sex over your wife's discomfort, or you feel like it's an okay time to be disloyal to your wife because she's carrying your kid, that doesn't sit right with me. Like, that doesn't feel good for me to see clients knowing that that's the scenario behind it. Like I said, I don't judge very often, but people should have some idea about what is I feel like I'm contradicting myself here. I don't judge often, but that time I definitely did judge, because I've been there. I've been pregnant. And to think that when I was so uncomfortable growing up, my partner's human inside me, to think that they were off paying somebody else to have sex with because they couldn't wait like a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't feel super great. So yes, lots of reasons why people who are married see sex workers. It comes down to misalignment or disconnection, inability to communicate their needs and their desires, shame around their needs and their desires, the fear of being judged, so many different things. So many of them can be solved if both people are open to hearing about the other person's needs and desires, in a sense that's not going to start an argument and it's not going to be something just taken personally, because it's not about your partner. Like, a partnership is about being loyal and committing to one another. But if your partner's sexual desires deviate from that, it's not about you. It's about them. And that's where it's hard for people to like separate the two. And I understand it. It's a really challenging thing to consider. And it does feel like a direct, like an insult almost. And it does feel like a threat. And like I said, essentially, depending on the way you view relationships, it is a threat to your relationship. It changes the dynamic, and it changes a lot to understand that your partner also desires other things or other people or things that you don't want to do. And it requires openness, understanding, communication, and an ability to not judge, and an ability to not get highly emotive. And those things are very hard to nail, and very hard. And it takes a lot for a couple to get to a place where those conversations can be had. So because of all of those things involved, And knowing that the conversation alone can be something that would be really, really, really hurtful for their partner to hear, that's why it's often avoided. And that's why people see sex workers, married people see sex workers. And it's usually not about, or it's, funnily enough, it's usually so their partner doesn't get hurt, which seems like such a counterintuitive way to go about it, but it truly is. And again, it's really complex, and there's so many different layers to it, and some of them are really, really uncomfortable, and that's exactly why they're avoided, because most people don't like being that uncomfortable, don't like having those uncomfortable discussions, don't like making their partner uncomfortable. They don't want to get into an argument. They think they can do something in secret and their partner will never know and it's never going to hurt their partner. That's probably the option they're going to take. So, yes, thank you so much for joining me for my discussion about married people seeking sex workers' services. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or you want to hear anything else, shoot me a message, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear feedback. If you absolutely thought this was a load of shit, you can tell me that too. That's cool. I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with my opinions, but that's kind of what this podcast is about, is opening up discussions that possibly aren't ones that you'd consider or want to consider. So yes, thank you again for joining me. I hope you have a beautiful day.